Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. Well, good morning. We call this the abbreviated worship service in a sense. We're really excited to get back to things being normal. Amen? We're ready for our music to be normal. We're ready for our worship time and all the other things to be normal. So just pray. We don't want to say what Brother Jonathan's will would be because it'd be, I don't want to go contrary to what somebody, you know, I won't say the officials, but we just want to be wise. Amen? And it's okay if you want to wear a mask. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jump for joy. Do it. And those who don't, it's okay. You know, at the end of the day, we want to worship the Lord. And by the way, our little one, little Raylan, had a fever this week. So pray for her. She hadn't been nowhere. But at the same time, you know, their immune systems are a little bit on the not so hot side. So just pray for everyone who deals with that kind of thing. I know there's a lot of people traveling this past week, going to be traveling this next week and over the next couple of months. Pray for them. It's just, I don't like living in an alternate reality, right? It's not fun. And that's what literally, it's kind of felt like a really bad movie the last few months. It just doesn't feel right. So normalcy, I think, is really what humans need, ultimately. We don't deal well when things are not good around. And whether it doesn't matter what your belief is in the whole entire thing, we are really created. God is a God of order. And I thank the Lord this morning that he's a God of order, and therefore we like things to kind of, we want the sun to set at night. Well, sometimes we don't, but, and we want the sun to rise in the morning. We enjoy the fall. We enjoy the winter. Well, maybe not the winter being cold, but we enjoy the change and the renewal of things. And it's hard when, in a sense, our lives have been kind of turned upside down. And we, though, know that God's word, I just read a thing about that the other day, about how a lot of people spiritually have been seeking as a result of this. Just pray that God would use that and that people would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen? That's what matters more than anything, because this world, I can promise you, we all agree with this, is passing away. One day, all things are going to be made new. We know that the Bible says at the end of Revelation, hey, all things, the old order of things will pass away and all things will be new. I'm longing for that day. What we do today is we are looking to the Savior that made it possible for us to be in the presence of the Lord, reunited with the God that sent his son Jesus to die for us. And I want to say this morning, I thank God for anybody who has lost a loved one. What Memorial Day is about is people who have laid down their lives in the service of our country. Now, any of you had family members who've laid down their lives in the service of the country? Raise your hand, please. There's got to be more than this. There is. Okay, raise them on up. Praise God. We honor those people. It doesn't have to be just a mom or dad or a son. It could be an uncle. It could be a great-grandfather. Actually, if most of you knew, you probably all of you would raise your hand. There is someone in our history somewhere who's laid down their life in the service of our country. What we're able to do today is because those men and those women fought to ensure that our freedom this morning to even come and worship King Jesus. And we thank the Lord that this weekend we have this precious ability to reflect on the sacrifices that they made for this nation. Again, visitors, it's an honor to have you with us. We thank God for you, those watching online. We pray that God would speak to your heart this morning through his word. And I just pray that above all, you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the most important thing that you and I will ever do on this side of eternity. I hope you have your Bibles this morning. If you do, turn to Joshua, the fourth chapter. We're going to look at verses 4 through 7 this morning of a message titled Precious Memories. Now, I know for people like me, you just all of a sudden had that song start playing in your head. Thank you. There's at least one. Precious Memories. Michelle did. Look, she's smiling back there too. She just realized it. But that's the title of the message this morning, and we're going to kind of take a look this morning at how important memories are. When you think about Memorial Day, why is it important? Well, I want to tell you, I read something yesterday. It said, ready for this? 50%, 7% of Americans do not know why we celebrate Memorial Day. Now, you might go, less. I don't really believe that. You ever watched Waters World, anybody? Have you ever watched Waters on a Memorial Day or a Independence Day walk along the pier with his microphone? A man my age. This is not a joke. Independence Day. Hey, why do we celebrate Independence Day? It's so we can have a three-day weekend. No. This has to do with we're celebrating something. Our country's independence, he finally tells him. Waters tells the guy. He says, what year was that? Was it 1976? Lord help us. And I really say that with sincerity. When 57% of our people don't know what Memorial Day is, brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to tell you something. We got a problem. Do you know why? A nation that forgets their roots are determined to be enslaved by what they were freed from. Don't forget that. It is important for us to teach our children the correct history of this nation. It is important for us to help our children remember what is inscribed on the inside oak doors of the Supreme Court of the United States. Will you tell me what it is? The Ten Commandments. Yes, of the United States of America, carved inside the oak doors in the inner chamber there in the courtroom of the United States Supreme Court. How many of you know that many of the memorial buildings and monuments in our nation's capital, what are inscribed on many of the tops and scripture verses? Yes. America is not freedom from religion, it's freedom of religion. You have the ability, and I have the ability, to worship the Lord this morning because men and women, ready for this? Through the power of the risen God who sent Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, gave us this freedom because men and women that God gave the strength and the ability to fought and died to ensure this morning that we have this freedom. It is important to understand that their lives should never, ever be able to be counted in vain. And if we forget this, and this nation, in a sense, continues to go backwards one day, that could sadly become the case. Very, very important for us to understand this morning that bondage is guaranteed when freedom is not continued to be fought for. Do you think I like to think that my son could in any moments be placed in harm's way? No, that's not an exciting thought. Those who have family members serving in the military, you don't like that thought. It's not a good thought. But what is the truth and reality of that? If I'm not willing to allow my son to serve, or you're not willing to allow your loved one, how can we sit back and talk about freedom when you and I are not willing to offer up our loved ones to defend that freedom that we say is so sacred and so precious? It is not free. Freedom is not free, and I believe many places it's people think that freedom's free. This morning I pray that as we look at how important remembering is, that not only in the sense of the men and women who've laid down their lives, but also the one and only sacrifice that Jesus Christ made so that you and I this morning are truly free. The memorial of recognizing that Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection gave the men and women in this country something to fight for. I hope you found this morning's scripture again in Joshua chapter 4. We'll look at verses 4 through 7. And if you are physically able this morning, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. So Joshua summoned the 12 men he had selected from the Israelites, one man from each tribe, and said to them, "Go across to the ark of the Lord, your God, in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you lift a stone onto his shoulder, one for each of the Israelite tribes, so that this will be a sign among you in the future when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean to you?' You should tell them, 'The waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan, the Jordan's waters were cut off. Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites.'" Father, God, I thank you this morning, Lord, again for this privilege we have to worship you. Lord, you have been so good to us. Father, you've protected, you've provided, You've blessed us beyond comprehension, in many cases even our knowledge this week. Father, I pray this morning that you would hide me behind the cross, God, so that your Holy Spirit might speak to hearts as only you can. God, we thank you, Lord, that you will work all things together for good to them that love you and are called according to your purpose. And Father, even in the midst of all we've dealt with, we are watching you in mighty ways reveal your power and your glory. God, I just pray you'll speak to our needs, the hearts, as only you can. And we ask this all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So again, verse 4 and 5 again says, Joshua summons the 12 men he had selected from the Israelites, one man for each tribe, said to them, go across to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Leads the first thing that I want to share with you this morning, and it's this. Godly leadership recognizes the importance of memorials. Now, you might say, what does that have to do with it? Well, okay. Mom and Dad? You know who is, in a sense, the trailblazer? Who is the shepherd of our home? We are. Who in our homes is going to ensure that God's word is important? If not us. I can promise you the school system won't do it. I can promise you the friends our kids have, in most instances, won't do that. It's up to us. But what do we need to remember? Well, number one is the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. Understanding the sacrifice that men and women made in this nation to ensure that the name of Jesus Christ could freely be proclaimed and that you and I would be able to not only celebrate the accomplishment of a graduation today, but even have this privilege of meeting here today. Go do this in China this morning. Huh? Go do it in China. What's going to happen? Not good. Go do this in Tehran this morning. If you know where that's at, in Iran. Go to First Baptist Church, Baghdad. No such thing. Wouldn't go well, would it? You would find out really quick if you showed up in Baghdad with the passion of anything and everything, or Tehran, and you rent an old building and say, look, man, I'm going to set up a powerful ministry here. I'm going to print up a bunch of brochures, put my big, nice, smiley face on the front of it. We're facing a revival up in here. You know what's going to happen? You're getting ready to find out what oppression and imprisonment's all about. Why? Because they don't have that privilege that we have. They have a disdain for everything that we represent. And that's the reality of what this nation is we can even disagree with what someone wants to do in their worship. But they have the freedom to do it. See, godly leadership in our lives recognizes, and in you and I as godly leaders in the sphere of influence that God's given us, recognize how important it is to remember the memorials. Anybody ever been up to Washington, D.C. and seen the memorials? It's really important to do. It's really important to go. If you've ever had a chance to go to Arlington Cemetery, have anybody ever been? Powerful. Powerful. Representation of countless lives. I don't even know how many hundreds of thousands. My grandfather's in one down, farther down, because they, you know, you can't unless, whatever it is. Very few people can now be buried in Arlington because they've run out of the space. Powerful picture, though. Countless lives lost. Now, do you think they went, you know, I'm going to go and I hope I die for the country? No, those were normal people that were like you and I. They wanted to go home to their families, but they realized that the call to help protect this freedom was real and it was important. Left their families. Many of them lost their lives on foreign soils. Heartbreaking stories all throughout history. But not one of them is insignificant or inconsequential. They're all important. And it's important for you and I to help our children recognize the importance of that. It's our responsibility to incorporate that in the teaching of our children and understanding their civic obligations and standing up for the flag when you do the national anthem sung, to the respect and reverence and to be thankful for this country and these freedoms and recognize that. And the Pledge of Allegiance, you don't sit there with your hat on and slouch in the chair. Sadly, though, is what in many cases are letting these kids do in school. Oh, Lord forbid mine ever did that. Oh, help me. Amen. I'd have to have a remedial training session, right? Anybody in here think that was great if one of your kids did that and you got wind of it? You don't have freedom of choice till you leave my home. Amen? You're going to love your country while you're in my home. And you have every right to love the country. We have a great country. God has blessed us with a country that has the freedoms. Again, so many places all around the world don't have this morning. So again, godly leadership recognizes that importance of memorials. And then listen to verse 6 and part of 7 again. It says, so that this will be a sign among you in the future when your children ask, what do these stones mean to you? You should tell them. Second thing that I want to share, the life application principle, is this morning. Memorials remind future generations of their roots. Memorials remind the future generations of their roots. What happens in your family if you don't have a family tree or you don't pass on the story of your family? Anybody? I know people who said, well, I don't really know. I met my grandparents one time, or I didn't meet them, and I have no idea. No joke, until I was just about, I guess, 10 years ago, I didn't really know anything about my dad's side of the family. I used to actually say, man, our last name is Joe. What a joke. Oh, good gracious. This name, and everybody always messes it up. I didn't realize until a number of years ago that, I had a whatever great whoever's fought in the Civil War. Had no idea. Had no idea there was a battle-class destroyer in World War II named the USS Osterhaus. Look it up. Wow. Didn't know that. You realize that if my uncle hadn't done all that research and found it, saw the picture of it, we'd have no clue. You understand? Why wouldn't that stuff passed on? See, it's important for us to know history, because what happens if we don't know history? It can be rewritten, can it? They can redefine what freedom means, that as you hear some trying to do now, freedom from religion. Not freedom of, it's freedom from. We don't want religion anywhere. That was not why this nation was founded, brothers and sisters in Christ. When you look all the way back at the Buttonwood Agreement, all those hundreds of years ago, and you start to understand the establishment of this nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, on the singular God of all creation, serving the Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. That Christianity is what I'm talking about. And that, this morning, brothers and sisters, is what this nation was founded upon and represents. Memorials remind future generations of the roots. We got to remember how the blessings came. We've got to remember the road that those blessings traveled. Do you realize the pastors, remember hear about the circuit preachers? Y'all know what those are? Anybody? They used to ride around on horses. They didn't have a pastor. Get on the phone, tech, no, they didn't have any of that stuff. They had circuit pastors that went around, they'd preach for a little while, and then the town would be without a pastor. Can you imagine how difficult that would have been? Now, I think what's pretty profound is back then the textbook in the schools was the Bible. Oh, how offensive, amen? No, not offensive. But all of a sudden, we've come to this place in our culture where the Bible, wisdom has become foolishness. Oh, to those who are perishing, as the Bible says. Don't you wish we could go back to that? The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And I love the other one then, the B-L-O-O-D. Does y'all know those songs? That he shed for me. I'm supposed y'all all start singing. I'm going to wake you up this morning. Everybody's tired. But truly, that is the truth of this nation. The word of God, the truth of God, the blessing of God. You know that you and I have nothing this morning good that has not come divinely from the hand of God himself. You know what this has done over the last couple of months for me? It's helped me recognize the blessing that God has given us. Not only with one another, but through Christ and this ability to get together in fellowship and to just give a hug, to hug one. You know, we feel like, I don't know, man, it just feels weird. Not being able to walk up and shake somebody's hand or give them a hug and tell them you love them. It's hard. How many of you right now, honestly, and I'm not even talking about in a weird way, how many of you are hug deprived? Don't lie, just get you, okay. You know, it's not been good, has it? You just feel so separated from your friends and those people that you love. The rest of you, we'll have a hug fest. We get done. I'm going to train you to like a hug. Nothing bad in that. I remember, seriously, you better be glad I'm not doing what the Mennonite church does down the road. You know what they do? My buddy went, Bible says, greet each other, holy kiss. Them guys come up to him, dead up serious. And this is in the middle of COVID. They ain't playing. I'll give you their address. You go find out. They'll kiss you. Amen. See? All we want is a hug. Praise the Lord. But it's clear all throughout God's word, when we forget that God's the source of all good things and we turn our backs on him, there's real consequences for it. Anybody recognize that? How many of us know that from our personal lives? Anybody in here ever felt the consequences from choices? Yeah. Is it fun? I've always said this. We need to, hey, I can get you a phone number from somebody if you ever think that, oh man, I love it when you've got a warped, messed up, something going on in your psychology, and I will get you to somebody who will sit you on a couch and have a come to Jesus meeting with you. It's not a fun thing. I don't like pain. I'm not even joking. This is serious. I loathe it. I've dealt with a lot of physical pain, and I loathe emotional pain on a deeper level. Do you know why? Because it eats your stomach up, it eats your life up, it eats your, what did David say? In my sin, my what bones? Wasted away. So there's physical consequences, the emotional consequences, the relational consequences. This is why I think it's so important for our nation to remember what we are all about. Why we are blessed, why we are where we're at right now. It's the blessing of God. Memorials remind future generations of their roots. It's important for us to do that. It's important for pastors to take and preach on a Memorial Day, on an Independence Day. It is. Because that and scriptural truth go hand in hand. They do. You can't separate. People say, well, I want separation of church. What? What are you talking about? It's so intertwined. How in the world have we bought this lie, separation of church and state? You get that? Where'd that come from? We don't want to get into the too deep, but. There you go. Thank you, Jeremy. Put that in layman's terms for us. Just kidding. By the way, somebody said, listen, we're going to do things this way now, but they can be intertwined because they always have. We're trying this now exercise in separating the blessing of God from our country and saying, well, we want to be independent of one another. Now, does that mean that the state and the government should say, hey, you have, no. Again, you have freedom to worship how you want to. You have the freedom to raise your children how you want to. Amen? Praise God. That's awesome. I don't have to agree with the way that you raise your children, and you don't have to agree with the way I raise them. That's okay. But what are we united under? God. Hey, the government can't legislate your morality. They can't tell you, hey, you need to. No. It's no. And I'm not even talking about that. But I'm talking about having prayer in school. It does no harm. It actually, I think, is a very good thing, because what does it give children? Hope. When we remove the ability for kids and have prayer in school, what we do is we've taken away hope from our kids. And now we're watching epidemic levels of all these different things. And what ultimately is that from? When you and I remove hope from our children, what have we done? We've taken away the very thing that prevents them from running out here and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Because if there is no God, there is no ability for us to live for him, and there's no purpose. What do we do? Listen to verse 7 again. It says, the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan, the Jordan's waters were cut off. Therefore, these stones, ready, will always be a memorial for the Israelites. The third and final thing I want to share with you this morning comes out of that verse. Never forget the precious memories of God's loving deliverance and those he used to carry it out. Again, many men and women have laid down their lives with the power and the blessing of God. The important thing that we need to remember is, as followers of Christ, even as we're training our children in the historical memorial and everything that our country represents, is that the truth of that old hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You know, this country will never save you. This country can't save you. The governing officials cannot save you. A psychologist can't save you. I can't save my kids, nor can you. The school system cannot save us. A psychiatrist cannot save you. A doctor can't save you. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can save you. And that's why it's important to recognize, brothers and sisters, that our hope, I'll just say, better be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And then that next, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And then that verse that I love so much, when he will come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Are you remembering this morning the sacrifices of the men and women as we reflect this weekend? It's not about grilling out. It's not about a day off. It's about remembering those who laid their lives down serving this nation. A little great little thing you can do with the kids. We have one next door to our home or driveway. You can take them to a cemetery. It won't take no time. There's always a part in the cemetery where you'll see men and women from the local area who have tombstones there. Take 30 minutes. Take your kids out there and have a talk with them. What do you want to say? I'll tell you what to say. Say, you know, this young man, this young woman, whatever the person's name is, had a mom, had a dad, had a family, had a future. And one day, there was a call to serve our nation. And we don't know their story. All we see is this rock that represents this monumental, in a sense, inconsequential, so insignificant time period of whatever their birth date and whatever their death date is. And wherever they were, they died to protect us. Can you imagine if we have a conversation with our kids like that once a year for just a few minutes? Do you think that's going to resonate with them? It mattered to them. It mattered to their family in allowing them to go. Yeah, I know there's some that signed up when they were 14 years old, lied about their age. Yes, I know all about that. But guess what? It mattered that much to them. And to me, it deserves to be remembered. And it's only going to be done if you and I do it. Because if you and I rely on the school system to teach our children Judeo-Christian values, we're in trouble. Amen? We're in trouble. We've got to do it. We've got to teach them correct history. We've got to do it. Not warped history, not slanted history. We've got to teach them the real, true history of our country and our nation. This morning, ultimately, above all, then you can have that conversation with your children. You can do it when they're really young. They'll understand, trust me. They'll understand a whole lot more than you probably think. Then you can say, you know, this young man, this young woman who laid down their life, you know what the most important part is? Is that we have the ability to worship the God, and we are able to accept the salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. And we can freely worship together because of the sacrifice of this person that we see right here. It kind of changes the perspective a little bit, doesn't it? Small little things that we can do that really have enormous implications. I believe the reason that I have such a passion for it is when I was young, my Aunt Mary, she rings the bells in National Cathedral, and she lives in Washington. If you ever get a chance to go up there, I'd like you to meet my Aunt Mary, and she would meet anybody who went up there, really would. She took me to all of these places. And I remember how powerful seeing the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier when I was a little boy, Mount Vernon, all of these different, the Lincoln Memorial. I mean, I was a little fellow, man, the first time I went. And I remember it like it to me was overwhelming to see this. These are these things that we begin establishing right now. And then it helps not allow the clouded mess of the world and what theology they're trying to transform and the picture they're trying to transform it all into. My question again is, in this first picture, the godly leadership that recognize the importance of memorial, do you? Do you recognize the importance of memorials in your life? Not only spiritual, but also the national. Memorials remind future generations of their roots. This morning, do you recognize how important the roots of even your family are? And then again, never forget the precious memories of God's loving deliverance in our lives, in the people that God has used, instrumental in our lives, to bring us and to make us literally the people we are today. Maybe you're sitting here and you say, you know, I've been kind of self-focused over the last couple months. I'm mad. I'm not mad. I'm happy. I'm whatever. There's all these different emotions that I know people are dealing with because I've dealt with everyone with people. Are you feeling apathetic, indifferent spiritually? Are you feeling spiritually cold? Maybe this morning you need to have a spiritual reckoning in a sense. Maybe this morning you're standing at the foot of the cross in a sense, seeing the picture of what Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, the living God of creation today, and what he did for you. And it's kind of that picture of sitting in front of that tombstone, recognizing that person's sacrifice, but see, Jesus rose again, so his salvation is living, and today he is willing and able to freely give you the gift of life. The debt is paid in full. There's no chance that Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is going to be hijacked. It might happen in circles within our nation or world, but guess what? It doesn't change the reality and the truth of his gift to you and I this morning. But what is it to you today? Are you more concerned about our culture and our nation, our financial condition, than you are about your walk with Christ? I would challenge you today to do a checkup from the neck up and recognize this morning the most important decision that you and I will ever make on this side of eternity. Put all the politics aside, because politics do nothing for us when we stand in the presence of a holy and righteous God one day. Because what is his standard? Perfection. So if you or I are able to stand in the presence of God perfect, we're in good shape. But friends, we have been born with a sin nature that is only cured by what? The righteousness of Christ through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. So this morning, you think about the robe of righteousness that is the picture of Christ and us being separated. Is he your righteousness this morning? That's the only thing that matters. You people know how quick life can be gone, don't we? All too well, all of us. What if today is your day? What if tomorrow's your day? What if you don't make it out of this building? I've been in a church where somebody dropped dead. Have. It's not nice. It's no fun. It's actually unnerving. Unless you're the one going and you're ready. But what if it is? You might go, I don't want that to happen. None of us are promised. I'm not promised two more. I could flop out and Trevor have to get up here and do the invitation. It's okay. You know why? I'll be shouting glory for y'all hit the back door. I'm serious. Because I recognize what remembering this morning is important. That my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. This morning is yours. resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ, recognizing that you're a wreck, as I am, and we all are apart from Christ, and even as followers of Christ, we fall flat on our face. But thank the Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he gets us up, he forgives us, he cleanses us. He gives us renewed direction. If you've seen that verse, the potter's house verse I used in the verse here a few days ago, a week ago, whatever. The vessel was marred, but he reshaped it into another vessel as he saw fit. You know what? God even uses the messes of our life to be able to minister. I was having a conversation with someone this morning about that. Even if you've messed up, this, don't allow the enemy to say that defines who you are. No, you let Jesus define who you are. You let his righteousness. And when someone from your past, trust me, I know, says, man, ain't no way they're any different. Don't even hear it. You know why? You recognize apart from Jesus, you would be nothing but the same old wretched mess. But praise God, glory, hallelujah, because Jesus Christ changed you from the inside out. You let the very reflection of God's glory be that thing that convinces them that you've been transformed, because I'll tell you, those naysayers, you couldn't stand there and in 1,000 years convince them you're any different. But I'll tell you one thing that happens. The rumbling gets a whole lot quieter the longer you serve Jesus. I know. You know why? The longer I serve him, the sweeter. Amen. I'm not worried about it. I'm worried about pleasing King Jesus. I'm not worried about all this stuff. This morning, where are you at? Are you ready to let go and let God? Are you ready to latch on to precious memories, which means the memory and the work of Christ Jesus for your salvation? Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, for the gift of salvation, Lord, for the freedom, which is knowing you as Lord and Savior. God, I thank you this morning, Lord, for those men and women that laid down their lives, those families that had to grieve the loss of loved ones that they, for anything, would not have wanted to lose, especially in the way that many of them were. God, I thank you this morning for their sacrifice. Father, I thank you for the salvation that was worth fighting for and defending, the freedom of this nation that was worth fighting and defending. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that every person in here knows you as Lord and Savior. God, if not, I pray that you would convict them this morning, help them understand that you love them, you're passionately in love with them. And God, you want to take the mess that they have today and you want to forgive them and to cleanse them and to bring them in a right relationship with you, but it's only through Jesus Christ that that is able and possible. And it takes us recognizing that, drawing that line in the sand, turning to you, confessing our sin and asking you to be not only the Savior, but the Lord of our life. God, we thank you so much for that love you have for us, which is incomprehensible. We cannot begin to imagine the love you have. Father God, I pray above all that no one will leave here today out of step with your will, your desire, and your plan for their life. And we ask all this today in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. In a moment, we're going to have our invitation. I'm hoping this will change very soon, but we don't want you to come down. If God has laid something on your heart this morning, you can kneel right down. Get in the aisle for all I care, man. It doesn't matter. Just get right with the Lord. Amen. That's what matters. Understand the brevity of life, brothers and sisters, today. Just because you're not on a battlefield does not mean that you and I can't be gone in the blink of an eye. I want you to know, I don't even worry about the COVID thing I'm not even talking about. I'm just talking about everyday life. We are one heartbeat away from being gone. And the question becomes, what have we done with Christ? What have we done now in hearing the gospel with this precious memory now that we have of hearing about the gift of salvation? Salvation is about understanding that we are separated from God, understanding that Jesus Christ is the bridge, is the gateway. It is about understanding that there's no way we can have that bridge gapped apart from Jesus. And this morning, if you'd say, I want that more than anything else in this world, I believe it with everything in me that he paid the debt for me. He died, he rose again 3 days later, and right now he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. I want nothing more than to fellowship with the God that created me. Guess what? You've met the prerequisites to coming to faith in Jesus Christ. During this invitation, all you've got to do is you pray something similar to this. God, yes, I know the wreck I am. I know my sin, my brokenness, but God, I know you sent Jesus to die for me, that he loved me. He bore my sin. And this morning, I confess that sin to you. Lord, make me new. Come into my heart and my life. Save me. Cleanse me, God. I want to live for you. Father, use me however you want for your glory. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.